It is a Wednesday, and as we always do, we have the chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. And Brian is an expert on the minor leagues, emphasis on the Cardinals, but also on Major League Baseball and a look at what's happening around the majors, but certainly with the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, you think about what's going on with the minor leagues. We know that season is gone. It's over for 2020, but Brian, I know you've been following what's happening with the Cardinals. You're covering it at thecardinalnation.com. You're on the Zoom calls. You're finding out where some of these players may fit on the roster, whether it be at Springfield or on the Major League Club, the taxi squad as well. First and foremost, by the way, good morning to you. How are things going?
Great, Dan. It's an exciting time. We're all going through a lot of new experiences here with baseball, and as you mentioned, I'm very interested not only in what's happening in the major leagues, but also those minor leaguers as part of the 48 in camp now, and many of whom will, of course, be down at Springfield at summer camp south.
Well, general impressions of what's going on with Major League Baseball. What have you thought? I mean, there's been bumps in the road, clearly, with testing. Cardinals had a day in which they had to shut down camp. Other teams, other organizations have had that. What do you think of what's happening right now with Major League Baseball?
Well, it's unfortunate that some time was lost because of the holiday weekend and issues apparently in the courier system used. And there was likely, again, this is just my speculation, but there was likely a big backlog of tests that had to be done on Monday, and that caused things to be delayed. But the team seems to have handled it well. They're through three workouts now. They have 17 to go. And Mike Schilt and John Mozeliak are very upbeat on progress being made and believe that, you know, the team will be able to be ready for opening day. I will say on the testing, you know, there's this huge backlog of tests that have to occur on what they call the intake process. That's when the players report. And there's a two-part test there. There's a saliva test and a blood and antibody test. And those tests have to be completed and come back negative before players are allowed to participate. So, for example, Carlos Martinez, who we didn't see at all, he was one of the players that had his test done last Friday. And unfortunately, they didn't realize until, you know, this afternoon for sure that his tests had all come back negative. So he was allowed to participate and throw a bullpen.
In terms of trying to cover this, we know that the media is up in the press box towards the top of the stadium. And there's no interaction with the players like you normally would have in a clubhouse before and after a game or around a batting cage in the dugout. What is this like right now for the media and what you've been dealing with and trying to find the information from the team and from players? What's it like, the Zoom calls?
Well, for those who are in St. Louis, of course, it's frustrating to be able to have to be in the press box. But as Tier 3 people, that's the way the protocols are in place. Let's hope that as things get better and things get into a groove, that the media will have more direct access. But right now, you know, we're all on Zoom, which benefits those of us who aren't able to be there all the time. And typically what happens, John Mozeliak speaks with us every couple of days, Mike Schilt always every day, and then certain players come up and speak. So, for example, on Tuesday, sort of the three injured players from camp, pitchers, Miles Michaelis, Andrew Miller, and Brett Cecil all through. And Miller had spoke with us before, so Michaelis and Cecil both came up and spent time and answered all the questions that everybody had.
In terms of some of these Zoom calls, anything stand out for you, whether it be you know, questions about what they're doing off the field, the testing, or even some of the things in the competition on the field?
Well, Miles Michaelis talked about, you know, the fact that he's a little bit behind the others because of his problem in spring camp. So he's hoping to get up to three innings and 50 pitches next time out. Whereas, you know, some of the other starters, they're going to hope to get them closer to 100 by the time that they're done with camp. Certainly the news from Brett Cecil was that he has picked up a submarine delivery, something that he had thrown before in college to warm up, but got away from it as a pro. And he seems to like how it's working. He threw with Michaelis out of Florida, and Michaelis liked it. Most importantly, Maddox likes it and gave him some tips. So Cecil is enthused about that. And, you know, he thinks that'll give him the best chance to make the team. So that kind of news every day. But, and of course, you know, Sheldon Mozeliak shared with us sort of the bigger picture of what's happening in the testing and the rosters and that type of thing.
In terms of Carlos Martinez, it looks like he could return today, and Alex Reyes maybe not that far away. Is that the impression you got with this too?
Well, yeah, Carlos Martinez was able to throw a bullpen on Tuesday, and so they'll see how he bounces back, but the potential for him to throw again is probably Thursday, Friday. Alex Reyes, all we're told is he's not present. He's out. So, you know, we don't really know any more than that. And, of course, there are the three players who tested positive but are asymptomatic, and that's Genesis Cabrera, Ricardo Sanchez, and Ulises Montero. And then Giovanni Gallegos is remains in Mexico.
So when you start thinking about back into bullpen, 60-game season, rotation, and Mike Shildt has indicated it looks like he wants to go with a five-man rotation, not a piggyback, not a six-man rotation. It's always a question now. It seems like the last couple of spring trainings, if you will, or in this case a summer camp going into a season, where does Carlos Martinez fit? How do you think he fits into the picture, Brian Walton, as you evaluate this potential roster?
Well, it's interesting because both Mike Shildt and John Mozeliak spoke about Carlos Martinez directly. Mike Shildt talked about the fact that they had spoken with Carlos before about him needing to have consistent habits in the weight room and training and recovery to build up his stamina, because we all know the reason he wasn't able to start last year was his stamina wasn't there. And they felt that he displayed that in March, and that, you know, that he is, in Mike Shildt's words, has more than earned the opportunity to start. He earned that in spring training. But now it's up to the calendar to see, you know, how quick he can get ready. And so they'll need to, you know, evaluate him today to see how he bounced back from that first session. In terms of the role, John Mozeliak, you know, agreed that the question of who's going to close, especially if Martinez is in the rotation, is up in the air. And he specifically called out Ryan Helsley and Giovanni Gallegos as candidates, and, you know, noted that they need to first, you know, sort out the rotation, and the closer is a, you know, an open question right now.
How about DH? What direction do you think the Cardinals go with the DH with this roster?
Well, what Mike Shildt has said is that he plans to use it as a rotational opportunity for starters to get a day off, but also to give it bats to some of the players who don't start every day, and that he doesn't expect that there'll be one person who will hold that job initially, but he expressed a hope that someone will step up and run with it. And so, you know, it's an open question. It's a good question to have. Matt Carpenter was asked specifically about his feelings about it the other day, and he said, hey, you know, he's ready to do anything and everything that they ask him to do, and that includes being a DH if needed.
It is interesting how this whole thing has to come into and come to fruition with basically 14 to 16 days remaining. And I mean everything. You got to get rosters. You got to get guys healthy. And, you know, primarily you got to get the testing right. Do you think they can pull this off, Brian, as you're talking to many of your counterparts around the country that cover baseball? What's your general impression?
Well, what I can say is that, you know, this snafu with the testing was disappointing. And, you know, the number of negative tests and the guys opting out was certainly concerning. But I will observe that, hey, you know, once they're past this intake testing, remember, all these guys were coming in from literally all over the country and all over the world. Now they're in St. Louis, or they're in their major league city. They're going to be in their environment. And, you know, you would hope that the number of positive tests that occur going forward will drop, just because everybody's now together and they're not out in the general population. But of course, you know, the whole issue of health and safety is going to be the driver as to whether this season is played or not. And there's a lot of skepticism and concern that, you know, the more named players that either choose to sit out, or in the case of first baseman Freddie Freeman from the Braves, who, you know, get sick and just can't play.
Opt out. We've heard that an awful lot. Do you think we're going to have more opt outs this week or leading up to opening day? What do you think?
I think both. I think we'll have more this week, and I think we'll have more leading up to opening day, and we could have more after opening day. One question that John Mozeliak was asked was, hey, is there a deadline for players to opt out? And he said not to the best of his knowledge. So, you know, let's say a Mike Trout decides to start the season, but his wife goes into labor. You know, he's out of here. So, you know, there's no way to plan or to know each day what the new news is going to be, because even guys who are in camp in a number of cases, not among the Cardinals, but, you know, and on other teams have said, yeah, I'm here, but I'm not sure I'm going to stay yet, and I'm nervous. And certainly these testing problems over the weekend did not make players feel comfortable. And, you know, John Mozeliak acknowledged that the reason that they did not go on the field on Monday was that the players and the coaches were not comfortable going out to practice because without those test results.
We were talking the other day, there are players out there, and some of them have major league time, and some are some names that fans recognize, and they may get together in Nashville and come together and try to stay sharp in case a major league team needs them for a particular position, and they could be added. Go into that a little bit. I think fans would find this curious. What are you finding out about that?
Yeah, there was a rumor for some time that baseball was working with the Nashville Sounds, which is Oakland's AAA team, to come up with some type of a minor league camp for those players who are not signed to contracts. And, you know, in a lot of cases, as we saw, the Cardinals released 33 players last month. A number of other organizations also had similar, most all organizations had similar types of drops. So there's a lot of very good, experienced players right now who are out of work and aren't going to get signed anytime soon. So in Nashville, they're talking about having a two-team minor league that would be played there with a roughly 20 to 24 players who are unemployed. As you said, a lot of them have recent time in the majors. And because they're recently have been cut loose, they have health insurance through COBRA, which is a big issue in terms of risk in playing in this type of an environment. And they're also going to have another similar league down in Texas, in the independent Sugar Land Skeeters are going to run that. And they're talking about having as many as four teams, but it will, of course, depend on the number of players they can recruit. Now, some of these players are keeping in the back of their mind that if, you know, some of the teams who have their 60-man pools create openings, that they might get signed and, you know, be brought back into the affiliated umbrella. So that's their motivation to want to continue to play this year.
In terms of the schedule, we know that they'll play 40 games inside the division, 20 interleague games, I guess, is the best way to put it. But what do you think of the schedule and the 60 games and how it's laid out?
Well, first of all, we knew, you know, all along that the Cardinals would play in the Central divisions, both the National League Central as well as the American League Central. So on one hand, they play, you know, a couple of strong teams like the Minnesota Twins, who's the defending champion there. But they also get to play a couple of teams that lost well over 100 games last year, in the Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers. And the Royals, being the Cardinals' rivalry game, they play them six times. The Pirates are also not expected to be particularly competitive this year. So, you know, overall, the Cardinals' schedule is fairly good, but, you know, fairly, I don't want to say easy, but less difficult maybe than some of the others based on last year. But again, so the other teams in the division are as well. Now, there was some consternation when the schedule came out because, for example, the 10 games that the Cardinals play the Cubs, only one of those series is in St. Louis. So seven of those 10 games are played in Chicago. But on the flip side of the coin, the Cincinnati Reds and Great American Ballpark, which is a tough place for pitchers, the Cardinals only play there three times out of 10. So overall, you know, the schedule is wonky, but it's just one more odd thing in another year. And, you know, when it gets right down to it, most of the prognosticators who look at the division can't see a great amount of difference between the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Reds. It's going to come down to just a few games here and there.
I was saying this, and I don't know if you agree with it. I said home field advantage, don't look at having the final at bat, even though in a baseball game that's clear, that's important. You know the nooks and crannies of your home ballpark, that's important. But home field advantage in the middle of a pandemic, how comfortable you feel of being able to truly go to your home bed, and how comfortable you feel being at home, literally your home, and how important that is. I don't know. I think early on, I think that's kind of important. Am I crazy thinking that? But what do you think?
I think you're right, Dan. And you know, the mental side of the game is something that we can't assess. Right? We can watch players, we can look at their stats, but we don't know what's going on between their two ears. And certainly, some guys are going to be concerned about the travel. They're going to be concerned about the hotels and the buses and the air flights. Another factor, I think, on this home field advantage point is, how does the team fit in the ballpark, right?
That's
the Cardinals
right.
are primarily a pitching-oriented team. So, you know, playing more games in Busch and less games in Great American, you know, is a positive thing, I think. And so, you know, you also want to look at, you know, how the team lines up to its environment. But that comfort level, that base comfort level, you know, is going to be so important for all these athletes on all these teams.
In terms of the minor leagues, a couple more questions, I'll let you go. But so it was about this time last week, the minor leagues shut it down for the year. I don't know about you, but I get the feeling that these players that will not be added to, let's say, you know, I'm going to use the Cardinals as an example, but the taxi squad or being down in Springfield, whatever the case may be, that a lot of these guys are going to be looking for at-bats or innings or competition. We're going to see the Arizona Fall League with maybe more players than they know what to do with, or winter ball for sure. There's going to be guys looking for time to play. and maybe pickup games or some sort of competition. Are you hearing that right now too?
Yeah, there are. I'm hearing a lot of informal discussion about minor leaguers playing pickup games, not unlike the major leaguers did, right? We heard about Goldschmidt and, you know, some of the top players that were getting together during the downtime. Minor leaguers are doing that as well, but they're, you know, trying to keep a lower profile because, let's face it, these guys are taking risks. And I'm not talking about the, you know, Nolan Gorman types, but I'm talking about some of the guys who, you know, might be worried that that they might get injured and that could affect their employment. But on the other hand, they need to stay fresh. They need to play. Now, you mentioned the Arizona Fall League. That's an invitational league that's typically played in the fall, and each organization sends 7 or 8 players to that league. You know, the rumors are that maybe they'll do something in Florida and Arizona both, and each major league organization will field an entire roster. However, in my opinion, and this is only my opinion, I haven't talked to anybody about this, this is going to require all 30 organizations to be willing to bring, 30 guys into, their spring training facility and play a structured league. And, if not all the organizations want to participate, would they go ahead anyway? Don't know. I think what's more likely is that the Cardinals, would run some kind of instructional camp where they might do some, scrimmages and that kind of thing, more like what's being done in these summer camps. But, it would be wonderful if there was a fall league and, these guys could get some playing time in a year that really for the minor leagues has been totally lost.
Finally, Brian, what are you working on at thecardinalnation.com?
Well, Derek Shore's got a feature up about the 100-mile-an-hour pitcher that from the Dominicans, the Cardinals signed recently. We talked about last week, Edwin Nunez. He talked with the Cardinals international director, Luis Morales. And so we've got a lot of insight on a young man that's drawn a lot of attention. It's very exciting. We're continuing our minor league history series with the top hitting and pitching leaders over time, our draft history by round. So, and of course we're, interleaving information about the new players. I didn't mention that Zach Thompson, Rob Kaminsky, and Seth Elledge have been added to the big league camp. So a quick story about them and their backgrounds and how they'll fit in as well.
Always great to visit every Wednesday with Brian Walden.